You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and Big Time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Man, you ready to hit it long and straight today, it looks like.
You know it.
Attaboy.
It's warm, it's sunny, it's Wisconsin. There are only three of these days a year.
Get out and play 18 or maybe 36 if you get a chance.
We'll see.
You have a good week?
I had a great week. Yeah, good. Very busy, but very productive.
Hey, so I'm watching the Atlanta Hawks game last night, and I would have bet my last dollar that Damari Carroll was not going to play. And there he was playing it, and I knew that I was going to start with that conversation with you. We had talked about you saw the injury, and were you surprised that he was playing?
I was very surprised he was playing. The injury he had, I actually have up close and personal relationship with, because my son had this injury, and I've seen a bunch of them this year. It's a hyperextension injury, which means that the knee went straighter than it's supposed to go. It's only supposed to bend in one direction, and it bent the other direction. And he came very, very close to tearing some ligaments in his knee, and undoubtedly has some sort of bone bruising, usually in the front of the tibia bone, which is the shin bone. I tell you, my son was in he actually fractured the front of his knee and was in an immobilizer for about 6 weeks. And I did not expect to see Damari Carroll out there playing against LeBron James last night.
Yeah, I was, you know, we had that conversation last week. Is it that they're superior athletes, or are they mentally tough, or is it a combination of all of it? And I think we came to the conclusion, in fact, Jenny said, yeah, I don't think you can be a superior athlete like these guys are without being mentally tough. And, you know, this guy went out and played, and he played with a lot of heart last night, I thought.
Yeah, no, look, these guys are unusual. They're not, I mean, we treat professional athletes. They're not like normal people. But at the same time, physically, his injury, he was very lucky. And I think he would admit as much. I'm sure the doctors would say the same. I mean, when we're covering games and we see that injury and you got to haul a guy off the court like that, it's very rare to see him actually come back this quickly. So it was pretty cool for them. I'm glad he's back. I hopefully he won't have any further injuries, and he'll heal up normally.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, I'm excited about today's show.
Oh, for sure.
I really am. We had a chance to talk with our special guest for a little while prior to the show, and man, really nice man.
Yeah, no, this week we have Josh Neubauer with us. Dr. Neubauer is a fantastic doctor, and he specializes in shoulder injuries, which is what we're going to talk about today. He does all kinds of other things as well, including fracture care, sports medicine treatment. But shoulders, he knows about everything there is to know. He does comprehensive shoulder care with arthroscopy, which is when we look inside the shoulder with a camera and we can fix things with little tiny poke holes, which is pretty cool. But he also does a lot of sports medicine shoulder reconstruction, shoulder replacement surgeries, which are complicated, and even what are called reverse shoulder replacements. So today we're lucky to have Dr. Neubauer with us. It's should be a really fun show. We're going to talk about, you know, shoulder injuries in the athlete, strains, sprains, and tears, and what is the difference. And so that's how we kind of led into this with that Damari Carroll incident.
Dr. Neubauer, thanks a lot for your time today. In fact, I'm going to spend more time with you today than I'm spending with my wife, because you're going to join us for the Varsity Blitz, or the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show with Coach Tom Swiddle.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Really excited to have you. Hey, let's talk a little bit about where you grew up and where you went to school, and let's just talk a little bit about how you got to Milwaukee.
So I got to Milwaukee based on my training. I came here for a residency and then ended up staying, so I've been here a good 10 years now. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, but spent most of my adult life in Kentucky. Louisville was my hometown
before
moving here.
Is it Louisville or Louisville?
For me, it's Louisville. For most, it's Louisville.
Yeah, I get corrected that a lot if I'm talking to somebody who spent some time there. You grew up a Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals fan.
That's right.
The Royals are playing well with all the Brewers that we sent them.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. You certainly now are kind of a cheesehead, right? Packers, Brewers, you enjoy those teams?
There's no question I support the home team. A big Packers and big Brewers fan.
And congratulations are in order. We've got a 2.5-year-old and a 3-week-year-old.
That's right. That's right. Tucker's the older one, and the new guy, Hayes, is 3 weeks old and keeping us up at night.
Yeah, and your wife's name?
Jody.
Jody, I hope you're getting a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, we have to thank Jody for letting Josh come this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. And maybe between shows you can take a nap if you're tired. How long where did you go to residence? You went here. Where'd you go to college?
So I went to undergraduate school in Davidson.
Okay.
Davidson College, which is in North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte. Then medical school at the University of Louisville, and then came here for residency.
Boy. The Davidson, they've had a couple of good basketball players come through there.
Sure, sure. Yeah. There's a young man named Stephen Curry who is lighting up the scoreboard these days.
Yeah, they.
He's pretty good.
He's really good. He is fun. He's fun to watch, and he is a basketball player that I would actually pay to watch play. You know, I just would. So, yeah, he's getting after it pretty good. Your days, have you been with Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine for how long?
I've been with our group for 7 or 8 years now, and we've been with the hospital, Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital, since we started that a few years ago.
Did you know early on that you wanted to specialize in shoulder and some of the things that you specialize in?
So early on, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then the sports world was of interest to me because I was an athlete growing up. And then it kind of gravitated to orthopedics, and then it further focused to shoulder injuries.
You know, I had a chance to read your bio and take a look at some of the things that you're interested in, and what I love about the guys that we continue to talk to on this show and some of the other shows that I do that are from Mosh is it seems to be a common thread that the first thing you talk about is not surgery. Let's figure out how we can get the player and athlete back on the field or on the court. And if surgery is something we have to do, then let's carry it all the way through. Let's make sure that we try to get you back as good, if not better, than you would prior. And I think that for me is really interesting. That's kind of the common theme between the guys that you work with.
Yeah, so there are some very clear things that need nothing but surgery. That's really the only thing that's going to help the patient. But in the vast majority of things, there are many, many things we can do and probably should do short of surgery to see if we can get them better. That's certainly the focus is getting somebody back to whatever their level of function is, whether it's Damari Carroll back on the NBA court or if it's somebody just getting back to their everyday life.
Yeah, we talk about this every week, but you know, Josh is a big part of our team, and our team includes every discipline. And that's the sort of the key approach to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine program is we have all different disciplines represented, including therapy, nutrition, psychology, orthopedic sports medicine, primary care, and everybody works together. It's not a hierarchy per se, which is great. So,
yeah, I like that. If you need more information on Josh or Dr. Brian McCarty, go to mymosh.com, and it's a really good website. There's a lot of interesting things to understand, to learn, and if you want more information on Josh or Dr. Brian, go to mymosh.com. Can we talk a little bit about when somebody calls in or says, hey, I think I've separated my shoulder or I think I've injured my shoulder, what's the process? I mean, do they see you first? Do they make an appointment and...
They make an appointment and come in to see me.
Okay.
And the first part of that whole process is they've got a story to tell, and I get a tremendous amount of information from the story they tell me, whether they slipped and fell, whether they were going up and down stairs, whether they were tackled, whatever might have happened. There's a tremendous amount of information I get from the story that they tell. We also get a lot of information about how they carry themselves, what they look like walking in, whether they're favoring a shoulder, whether they reach to shake your hand if it's their right shoulder that's hurt. A lot of different information we get from before even starting the conversation. Then we get a lot of information from the story they tell. That moves on to the examination, and often x-rays to have a closer look at the bone structure of the shoulder.
That's interesting to me that you notice all of you notice how they walk in, you notice what hand they shake, you know, your hand with, how they're carrying themselves. I don't know if people understand how much you guys notice prior to even, you know, the examination.
Well, it is all part of the examination. And it's not like we're examining you, you know. We're just paying attention to details. And I think what Josh is talking about is a lot of what we do is just listen. You know, a lot of the patients tell us what's wrong. We're just interpreting. So when you come into the doctor, no matter what it is, whether it's for us or for your primary doctor, if you just tell them what you really feel, it really helps us to be able to tell you what's really wrong. So that's the key thing.
Do you know, looking at your bio, you spent some time in Lake Tahoe as well, correct?
I did, yes.
How long did you spend there?
Not quite a year.
Did you see different types of injuries or more common injuries in an area like Lake Tahoe than you would here in Wisconsin?
There were a lot of the same things out there. The injuries were focused on alpine trauma, you'd say, like skiing, or in the summertime it was mountain biking. A lot of different injuries. We see a lot of that in Wisconsin too. It just happened to be focused there because I was involved with many athletes out there. The docs I was working with cover the U.S. ski team, so I'd see some of that. It could be a professional mountain biker in the summertime or just some random person out for a ride and goes over the handlebars when they hit a rock. A lot of different things that can happen.
Yeah, what's the worst injury you saw from that U.S. ski team? Those guys are going down a hill at, 80 miles an hour?
Well, the biggest injury that I would see there would be a knee injury. Yeah. There's a long lever arm with those skis, and the ski is as long as somebody is tall, and that's a lot of torque that ski can put on one's knee if the bindings don't come open.
Yeah. Did you ever have a chance to go watch them live?
I did.
Yeah, how cool was that?
Very impressive.
Yeah, I've never seen them live. It must be incredible to see.
And the
them.
Terrain they ski on is ridiculous. It's the slope of the grade of those slopes that they're skiing on is just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
boy, incredible. The speed has got to be incredible. It's got to be like a blur going past you.
Exactly, it's impressive.
The area out there is beautiful, from what I hear. I've not been there, but it's.
So that's a place I would say everyone should put on their bucket list to go. If you like the wintertime, go in the winter. If you like the summertime, go in the summer. I thought it was a cold weather destination, but it was more busy in the summertime than in the wintertime because of people coming from California trying to escape the heat. It is an absolutely gorgeous place, regardless of when you go.
Well, we're happy you decided to come here.
Well,
I can tell you that.
Mike,
I know
let's,
Brian is.
Let's face it. Everybody wants to come to Milwaukee, and whether it
yes,
be from whether it be from Kentucky or Lake Tahoe, it's a good thing it's hard to find.
Yeah, it's very hard to find. So I'll tell you guys are lucky that Josh decided to come.
That's true.
To come to Wisconsin, guys. Let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to discuss common injuries, a common injury known as shoulder separation, and I think there's a lot of questions as to what it is and what to do about it. And we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Oh, welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. The Foo Fighters, Dr. Neubauer's favorite band.
I am so glad we fired you from the music.
I'm getting that job back one day, Dr. McCarty. I'm getting it back, and I promise not to play Barry Manilow
Our guests
anymore.
Are doing far better.
They are. Yeah, I am Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, our special in-studio guest. You can find him on mymosh.com, Dr. Neubauer.
Yeah, and also everyone should know that you can scroll down then on that webpage. There's a blog section. If you click on it, you'll find all of our shows on podcast.
That's awesome.
So you can go back and you can listen to them all, whether you like to or not.
There you go.
And you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe.
And just a little bit more. Yeah. That was a good line, by the way. Hey, let's talk, Dr. Neubauer, a little bit about shoulder separations. Difference between a shoulder separation and is that different than when somebody says they dislocated their shoulder?
Quite different. The really bad injury of those would be a shoulder dislocation. That's where the ball part of the ball and where the ball and socket become separated from each other, which is distinct from a shoulder separation, which is what we would consider a less severe injury, where two bones on top of the shoulder become a little bit separated from each other because a couple ligaments can tear. But the shoulder dislocation is different from a shoulder separation. The second, the separation being more of a minor injury.
If somebody says, hey, I playing football, I popped my shoulder out. Is that more of a separation?
Well, if it truly popped out, then it's probably a dislocation. And the collision sport that football is, a shoulder dislocation would not be a big surprise. Far more common would be the shoulder separation, which is the clavicle becoming separated from the acromion, which is the other bone on top of the shoulder.
You know, and I'm sorry, Brian, but Dr. McCarty, in certain games, you'll see somebody get a hit, and they'll say it's a stinger, and they'll carry, kind of run off the field carrying their arm. So when you hear it's a stinger, I don't really understand what that means. It makes me think, as somebody watching the game, oh, they're probably going to be back in.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we're having the show, to be honest with you, because it's really confusing. People don't necessarily understand the terms, nor should they. I mean, it's not their job to understand them. What Dr. Neubauer can help you do is understand which is it, and it makes a big difference. That's why we're on the sidelines at football games. That's why we have time in the office to see people so that we can help clarify for them what's really wrong. And there's a big difference between a stinger, a shoulder separation, what we call an AC joint injury, and a dislocation in terms of prognosis, treatment, and everything else. So you need to see a trained professional to get a proper diagnosis. That's the most important thing.
Any of them can be quite debilitating. So it's really important to know exactly what we're talking about, how bad the injury really is, and what that's going to mean to somebody a day down the road or maybe a month or more down the road.
Well, why don't we start at the top then, Josh? So when you see somebody on the field and they feel like they've had a stinger, what is that?
That's more of a neurologic injury, where it's not an anatomic separation or a problem with the shoulder itself so much as a traction injury to the nerves that provide the sensation to the arm. So that stinger, that's manifest to the patient as inability to feel or really move their arm very well. But that's not usually either of the other two, a shoulder separation or a dislocation.
So have you ever had one of those?
I have, too many.
How did that feel?
Well, it feels awful for a second, but then it comes back pretty quickly and you don't really realize how injured you might be. But when you're in the middle of a game, a football game, you really don't care because you're back to functioning pretty quickly.
Yeah, so how do you evaluate those patients to get them back? What are the criteria to get back?
The most important thing with all these injuries, and that's one that's acute and gets better pretty quickly, but the most important thing is that the patient or the player can have full range of motion and full function. If they can't hold their arm up to my exam, they're not going to be able to hold their arm up to the battle on a field. So they're not going to be able to protect themselves and they're at risk for much greater injury. And that's the criteria I have for the vast majority of the injuries. And that's a really important one, where they have profound weakness pretty quickly and that it can come back quickly too.
We're talking, our special guest today is Dr. Josh Neubauer. He is, you can check out his bio at mymosh.com. You can go to the blog and listen to any of the past shows that we've had. My in-studio co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. They are from Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. You know, you hear about broken collarbones a lot. Different than what we're talking about, correct?
Correct.
And so when somebody says, hey, I broke my collarbone, is surgery 100% necessary? Is it not?
No, not at all. That's something that has evolved over time. We, early on, meaning several years ago, didn't fix many of them at all. And then there was a time where we fixed a lot of clavicle fractures, and now we're coming back to understanding that there are some that should be fixed, and there are many that really don't need to be fixed. The big question is, what is that patient's function going to be down the road? And is it going to be better with surgery, or is it going to be no different whether that patient has surgery or not? And if that's the case, of course, we would prefer to treat that patient without surgery. It's very similar to the AC separation, because the C part of AC is the clavicle. So the same injury, the same mechanism of injury, like going over the handlebars or being tackled down on your shoulder, might cause an AC separation or a shoulder separation, or it might cause a clavicle fracture, clavicle being the collarbone. So those are intimately related to each other.
So people, when they injure their shoulder or that area, it's not 100% that you're going to have surgery. And I think that parents and coaches, you know, right away think, boy, we've lost this young athlete for the year. And that's not always the case.
That's where the value comes in, if we're on the field for that patient,
right,
or seeing them in the office pretty quickly, because we can help with those expectations. We can help interpret the injury, interpret the examination to have a good idea of how long that patient's going to be out, when they can get back to class if it's a high school student, when they can get back on the field if they're a professional athlete.
Yeah, or even get back to work. You know, so
right,
these are why it's helpful for us to have a chance to evaluate and really get a proper diagnosis. What Josh was talking about, Dr. Neubauer, is the injury to a collarbone, or clavicle, we call that, is similar to the AC joint, which is the joint between the collarbone and the shoulder blade, in the sense that the energy goes in different places. So if you have an AC joint injury, it's going through the ligaments. Otherwise, it goes through the bone, and the bone cracks in half. Some people think one's better than the other. They're not really better than one another, just different forms of the injury. But the treatments may be different.
Dr. Neubauer, before we get to a break, you know, there seems to there everything evolves, and in your business, it evolves quickly. Are there any new things coming treating these types of problems? Are there things that are coming down the block, or are there things that have happened? You said recently there's been a change as far as how to what you're going to do with broken collarbone. Is there things that people need to know about treating these types of problems coming up?
I would tell you that the most important part of it is us being able to interpret what the injury is and knowing all the different treatment modalities for it. If it's a clavicle fracture, it might be fixing or not fixing, and that has evolved over time. With the shoulder separation, if that needs to be fixed, then the classic way to do that is more of an open procedure, a larger incision. And one of the big innovations over the last few years has been the ability to fix that arthroscopically, meaning the small quote-unquote keyhole surgery that we've come to do with the vast majority of shoulder soft tissue repair. And now we can do that with acromioclavicular joint or AC joint shoulder separations.
Yeah, what Dr. Neubauer is talking about is something that he really specializes in, and that's when the AC joint is injured, and you can put your hand on top of your shoulder, you can feel the collarbone, and right near the end of the collarbone, there's a little bump before you get to the edge of the shoulder. That's the AC joint. If it's separated completely, called a grade 3 separation, that means all the ligaments are torn. And there can be a lot of instability associated with that, which means there can be a lot of disability associated with that. Now, that can be treated arthroscopically and repaired early on. And the results of that are outstanding, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a big improvement.
What a change from when I was, which is a zillion years ago. But where this has come is incredible to me. That, you know, when you had something as simple as cartilage taken on a knee, you were in the hospital for 4 days,
yeah,
and now you're there for a couple hours. And
well, remember, Mike, when we were growing up, the AC joint hadn't yet evolved. So
I appreciate the age joke, Dr. McCarty. I was just starting to feel a little better about myself. Hey, guys, let's get a newer thing. Yeah, it is, no doubt.
The kids have them.
We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk about shoulder strains. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that people feel are shoulder strains. And we're going to talk to you about what can be done with those. Our special in-studio guest is Dr. Josh Neubauer. You can check out his information at mymosh.com. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I've got another confession to make.
Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Dr. Brian McCarty. Our special in-studio guest is Dr. Josh Neubauer, and you can check them out at mymosh.com. Hey, I wanted to talk this segment, if we can, a little bit about shoulder strains. And when somebody says, hey, look, I think I've strained my shoulder, I think, you know, I've done this to it, Can we talk a little bit about the difference and what that entails from somebody who has done that?
Sure. So there are many, many different injuries that a shoulder can have. Specifically, a strain would be defined as an injury to the muscle and or the tendon where there's not a true injury such as a tear. So it's the muscle or tendon is injured but not overtly torn. We've probably all had that to some level, and it's something that can be quite debilitating, but it usually gets better without any significant intervention from us as surgeons. It also can evolve more into injuries to the AC joint, which is the joint we talked about a little bit earlier, and there's a condition called impingement where that bone on top of the shoulder can push on the muscle and tendon and can cause an injury. So you can have a strain from an overuse type activity or a traumatic injury or just degeneration, which means over time that muscle and tendon can become injured. That would be considered a strain.
So when I want to get out of shoveling, that's what I should use?
Sure, just give us a call. We'll give you a note.
There you go.
No shoveling for Mike.
We'll give you a note that says dishes only.
Dishes only.
So
my wife is listening. She'll be like, that's fine.
We can modify your activities appropriately.
Thank you, Dr. McCarty.
Yeah, no problem. So what Josh is alluding to with this impingement issue, have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Yeah, well, you know, people talk about rotator cuff tendonitis, and they talk about impingement syndrome. And so, Josh, tell us about that. What happens with that?
The rotator cuff goes between two bones.
All right, you got to start with that. So tell me about, what is the rotator cuff?
The rotator cuff is a group of four muscles that help encapsulate the shoulder, and it helps keep the ball in the socket. So It has a very, very important function. It sounds quite simple, but it's a very complex entity to keep that ball in the socket. To talk more about the shoulder joint itself, it's technically considered a ball and socket joint, which most people think of being very constrained, meaning a ball that goes all the way inside another ball, if you will. But the reality is the socket part of the shoulder is very shallow. So it is inherently unstable, which would suggest that the ball would come out of the socket quite easily. And one of the most important structures that keeps that in place is the rotator cuff. So if the rotator cuff is injured, it can be quite debilitating for how the shoulder functions.
Yeah, so in other words, Mike, it's not something that rotates around inside the shoulder, which I think a lot of people justly think it might be, because they think it's a rotator cuff or something. It's what it sounds like. It's just a cuff of tissue, meaning all four of these tendons, like all the other tendons in your body, merge together around the shoulder, and it rotates the shoulder and lifts it. So the early anatomists called it a rotator cuff. So getting back to this impingement then, so what happens with the rotator cuff that causes the pain with this?
Right, so impingement is when that rotator cuff gets pinched, if you will, between two bones, between the humerus below it and then the acromion, the bone above it. There's a very narrow tunnel through which the rotator cuff travels, and if that space narrows, it's called impingement. So if there's a little bone spur, or if over time the shoulder becomes degenerative or there's some small injury like a strain or even a traumatic injury to the rotator cuff, it causes a significant amount of pain and difficulty with any kind of little activity. It could be as small as trying to raise your arm to reach even the lowest shelf in your cabinet.
Do you know, people talk about cortisone shots being very helpful. Does that help something like that?
It really does. There's a philosophical difference between physicians about how much cortisone can help. So different physicians might have a different opinion. Dr. McCarty, I don't know what your feeling might be on that. My feeling is there is a really, really important role for cortisone in the treatment of orthopedic injuries. Cortisone is a chemical, and it is changing a chemical process in the body to help turn off the inflammatory process. So one has an injury, which then can cause inflammation, and that's basically a domino effect, with the last domino being pain. So if we can turn off that process, we can take out a couple dominoes, and then even though there's an injury or a strain in the shoulder, it might not cause that person much pain.
Yeah, you know, what happens a lot with this is people get sort of lay information and they get confused. So, you know, back in the old days, a lot of people used cortisone sort of recklessly. They didn't know what it was, and they knew it relieved pain, but they didn't know exactly what it was doing. And old steroids, a lot of them had fluoride in them. They were fluorinated, and they caused tendon damage. So they got a sort of a reputation for tendon problems because of that. The newer ones that we're using now don't cause that, and we don't recklessly use them. We use them very judiciously for very specific problems. So this impingement issue, for example, is an inflammatory problem in most cases, or at least it has a component of that. And so this relieves the pain, and that allows then the therapists and the trainers to help us to get the strength back so that people can get back to full function.
It's a really important part of the non-operative treatment process for shoulder injuries. It's a really important and helpful arrow in our quiver to treat patients with shoulder problems.
Do you find that some people react differently? Some people that helps for a longer period of time, or is it common that everybody, you say, look, this is going to help you for 4 weeks? Because it seems to me that there are some guys I've talked to that said, boy, that was a godsend, and it really helped me. And other guys said, look, after 2 days, the pain came right back.
There's no question. It's quite variable from patient to patient. And that depends on how bad the pathology is, and it also depends on how much function a patient has. For example, if you had a bad shoulder and you had a cortisone shot and you went out and played 3 hours of tennis the next day and then painted your walls, your shoulder's probably going to start hurting a lot more quickly. Whereas if you can take it easy for a few days and let that work, that might help turn off that inflammatory process. And the other part is if someone has a minor to moderate injury in the shoulder, that cortisone will help tremendously more than a patient that has a quite severe problem in their shoulder. And the cortisone can help a lot of people, but the pathology or the injury to the shoulder might just be more than the cortisone can handle.
Yeah, we really look at it as a means to an end. It's not an end in and of itself. It
right.
allows people to get their pain under control so that they can do the strengthening and the rehabilitation necessary to get well long term. The people who tend not to respond as well tend to have a worse problem. So it helps us from a diagnostic standpoint as well.
Hey, before we get to a break, and you had talked about strengthening the muscles around the shoulder, does that help not cause? Does that help prevent any of these injuries? And once you have one, does it help in the rehab part of it?
All of the above. Therapy is a huge, huge important part of orthopedic care, shoulder care, sports injuries. It helps all of it. It helps prevent injuries. It also can help treat an injury. And once a patient is fixed, if you will, from surgery, it's very, very important for helping them build their muscles and their function back to return to their function.
Yeah, you know, if you go to the gym, you see the guys pumping the iron and they're working all the big muscles, right?
Right.
Well, the ones we're talking about are the little muscles, right?
Right.
They're the little muscles around the shoulder, and they're the ones that make everything work. So you really want to make sure you get those rotator cuff muscles working properly and the muscles around your shoulder blade or scapula working properly, and that then makes your shoulder function much better.
It's a big step for a patient to get to lifting a 1, 2, or 3 pound weight when they're in their recovery process from a shoulder surgery. So these are, to Dr. McCarty's point, these are very small muscles that they don't need 10, 15, 20 pounds to help them get stronger.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to go through a couple of quick things. I have a couple questions regarding rotator cuffs. But I also want to talk to you guys about how you talk to especially a high school athlete and their parents when the injury is maybe worse than they thought, and how you walk them through what this is going to do to the athlete for the rest of their life. And that's got to be a very difficult conversation. And I've just got a quick question for you on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dr. Josh Neubauer. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Hey, guys, I wanted to start with this on this last segment, and I've got a couple questions at the back end to ask you about rotator cuffs. But when you guys, I'm always interested in the personal side of what you do. When you're talking to a student athlete, a high school kid who has a significant injury, and you want to be able to soften the blow a little bit, but you really can't. I mean, you have to be honest on what's happening. And when you talk about their future plans, and you're sitting with the athlete and the athlete's parents, how difficult of a conversation is that for you, Dr. Neubauer?
It's pretty challenging. It really is. The question is, how firmly do you present that information? It's a balance between conveying the right information and also doing it in a sympathetic manner. You can't be too sympathetic and then miss out on the nuts and bolts and the really important parts of the injury and the recovery. So I need to cover those important things first: the diagnosis, what the expected treatment is, what the anticipated effect is on that person's life. But I need to do all those things as kindly as I can.
Yeah, we always talk about, you know, how we really deal with truth. You know, we're not into make believe, and Josh is right. The hard thing is, it is really difficult for the families and for the athletes. But at the same time, you know, you definitely want to be sympathetic to them, for sure. Who wouldn't be, right?
Correct.
But at the same time, it is important that they know the truth. And you know what? They really want it, because they don't want to, you know, pretend that they're going to be doing something that they're not. But it's a difficult line to tread. And I think each patient's different, don't you, Josh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where there's the science of medicine and there's the art of medicine. And that's where the art comes in. The science doesn't change, but the art of it is different from doctor to doctor and important from patient to patient, to interpret how well they're going to handle the information and how to break the news, if you will.
You know, you'll hear bedside manner. You'll hear that term and you'll say, boy, that doctor did not have good bedside manner. Is that part of the education? When you guys, is that something you either have or don't have? Or is that part of going through school for you guys?
It would be more part of the mentorship.
Okay.
It's not part of the curriculum, but that's where it's important to have mentors in your training who can teach you those artful things. You're going to get the nuts and bolts. You're going to get the academics of the bookwork. But the reality is, you can't teach somebody bedside manner in a book. You've got to learn that from a good mentor.
Yeah, basically, you look for people who you admire. And I mean, I do it very simply. I just treat people the way I would want to be treated. And I think that's the easiest way to do it. You know, I wouldn't want anybody treating me and being rude and callous. But at the same time, I would want to know the honest truth about what's going on. That's why I'm there. So that's kind of how I approach it. And I think Josh obviously approaches it in a similar manner, you know. And then there's the customization to each individual person. And we all have people in our training who we remember being the guys that we would want to go see, you know. And I think that's how you learn.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really important. And you know, as a coach, a basketball coach, and retired for a bit and coming back now, you know, I as a young coach, I used to go to games just to watch other coaches, to see how they dealt with their staff, their coaching staff, how they dealt with referees, how they dealt with their players. I normally couldn't watch how they dealt much with the parents, but I wanted to learn how they dealt with those guys, and I would think similar to what you guys do.
It is. A good coach knows how to get the most out of that player. One person might need a nice pat on the back and an encouraging conversation. Another player is going to need some serious, tough love and maybe chewing them out a little bit to get them to respond and get the most out of that athlete. Similar to what we do as physicians, one patient of mine might need some really serious, stern conversation about how to follow instructions and how to not hurt themselves further, whereas somebody else might need a little more treatment with kid gloves.
Do you take your cues from the parents at high school? I guess I'm talking more high school athletes at this point, where if the parents seem disconnected or not interested, or the parents on the other side over the top wanted to know, you know, hour by hour, how can I get my son or daughter back on the court or the field? I would assume that all goes into your mindset on how you're going to deal and have that talk with them.
For me personally, I feel like I need to read the room a little bit. The patient is the most important, and I need to talk to that young athlete. But a patient who's under 18 years old is the parent is the most important part of that conversation, and about what treatment plan is allowed. So it's really, really important to include both of them in that conversation. You can't discount the athlete or the patient because it's their leg, it's their shoulder, it's their knee you're talking about. It's really important. But the reality is parents are a huge, huge part of that conversation.
Yeah, Josh is right on the money. I always usually address the patient first. But it's a group conversation in that situation, for sure. And but you know what? When you remember being 15, 16, I mean, you're like,
right.
So we definitely want to make sure they're involved in all of the understanding of what's wrong. And I think a lot of times once the patients understand what's wrong and the families understand, really, if you explain to them what's wrong, in my experience, the flow of it is easy. People make good decisions after that pretty much uniformly.
Hey, Dr. Neubauer, you played football and baseball into college. Were you the kind of player that, as your coach, I had to put my arm around you, or could I give you a kick on the backside and get you moving?
Oh boy, I responded to either one.
Did you?
You always got everything. You always got my best.
That's good to know. I and that's followed you into your professional life as a doctor, I'm sure.
Sure,
no doubt. Hey guys, this has been great. Hey, next week, Dr. Don Zoltan's coming in.
He is.
That should be a fun show.
It's going to be great. We're going to talk about aging athletes, and which many of us are.
Why'd you guys all look at me? Really?
No, we said, well, anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
the idea is how to stay in the game longer. We're going to talk about things that you can do to stay fit and stay active longer. And we're even going to talk about things like growth hormone and testosterone, beautiful, and all that, just so that people have a better understanding of what those things do and what their role is.
Hey, Dr. Josh Neubauer, you're going to stick around, or I'm going to have you back on at 11 o'clock with the Wisconsin Football Coach Association
Thanks
show.
Thanks for having me now, and I will see you in a little bit.
Yeah, I look forward to that. You've been a great guest. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Thank you. Great job.
Go to mymosh.com and look up Dr. Neubauer if you want more information. Dr. McCarty, hit him long and straight today. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to see you, too.
You bet. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.